In the field of hydrology, the glorious Quran speaks about the water cycle in great detail. The present water cycle that we know of was first described by Sir Bernard Palissy in the year 1580, that how does the water rise? It evaporates, forms into clouds, moves into interior, falls down as rain, and then the water table is replenished. Previously, people did not know about this water cycle. The Quran describes the water cycle in great detail. The Quran says in Surah Tariq, chapter number 86, verse number 11, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتُ الرَّجْعِ, but the capacity of the heavens to return, indicating that the heavens has the capacity to return back rain. The Quran speaks in Surah Nur, chapter number 24, verse number 43, as well as Surah Rum, chapter number 30, verse 48, that how does the water, after it evaporates, form into clouds, the clouds join together, they move into the interior, they fall down as rain, and the water cycle is completed. The Quran speaks about the water cycle in great detail in several places. In Surah Az-Zumr, chapter number 39, verse number 21. In Surah Rum, chapter number 30, verse number 24. In Surah Mu'minun, chapter number 23, verse number 18. In Surah Hijr, chapter number 15, verse number 22. In Surah Al-Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 9. In Surah Araf, chapter number 7, verse number 57. In Surah Rod, chapter number 13, verse number 17. In Surah Furqan, chapter number 25, verse number 48 and 49. In Surah Fatir, chapter number 35, verse number 9. In Surah Yasin, chapter number 36, verse number 34. In Surah Jasha, chapter number 45, verse number 5. In Surah Qaf, chapter number 50, verse number 9 and 10. In Surah Waqia, chapter number 56, verse number 67 to 70. In several places, in Surah Mulk, chapter number 67, verse number 30, the glorious Quran speaks about the water cycle in great detail. In the field of geology, today the geologists tell us that the world that we live, the earth, the deeper layers, they are fluid and hot and cannot sustain life. But the superficial part of the earth, the solid crust on which we live, it's very thin, hardly about 1 to 30 miles in thickness. And the total radius is approximately 3,750 miles. But the superficial crust on which we live is very thin, about 1 to 30 miles in most of the places. And the geologists, they say, there are high chances that this thin layer, it will shake. It is due to the folding phenomena which gives rise to mountain ranges, which gives stability to the earth. The Quran says in Surah Nabah, chapter number 78, verse number 6 and 7, we have made the earth as an expanse, wal jibala autada, and the mountains as stakes. The Arabic word autad means stakes. It means tent pegs. And we know that when we put a tent, when we put a peg of the tent into the ground, the major portion goes deep into the ground and only a small portion is seen above the ground. It's in the latter part of the 19th century we came to know regarding that mountains have good roots. And the portion that we see above the surface of the earth is a very small portion. The majority part is deep within the ground. And if you read the book The Earth, which is a very famous book written by Dr. Frank Press, he says that the mountains have good roots, and he draws the shape as a wedge shape. And he says the function of the mountain is to prevent the earth from shaking. And this is exactly what the Quran says in Surah Anbiya, chapter number 21. Verse number 31, and Surah Luqman, chapter number 31, verse number 10, and Surah Nahl, chapter 16, verse number 15, that we have placed on the earth mountains standing firm, lest it would shake with you. The Quran says, the function of the mountain is to prevent the earth from shaking. In the field of oceanology, the Quran says, in Surah Furqan, chapter number 25, verse number 53, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty God, who has let free two bodies of flowing water, one sweet and palatable, and the other salt and bitter. Though they meet, they do not mix. Between them there is a barrier, a barzakh, which is forbidden to be trespassed. And a similar message is repeated in Surah Rahman, chapter number 55, verse number 19 and 20, the ayats which were recited by the two Qaris, Alhamdulillah, the recitation was wonderful and so was the English translation. Again, I have traveled in different parts of the world, but this recitation was wonderful. And besides, you know that though Alhamdulillah, they had a beautiful voice. In spite, though they were blind, the recitation was wonderful, beautiful. And even the English translation, Alhamdulillah, was very good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward both of them. And they recited the verse from Surah Rahman, chapter number 55, verse number 19 and 20, which says, Marajal Bahrain yaltaqiyan, bainama barzakh la yabghiyan, that it is Allah who has led free two bodies of flowing water. Though they meet, they do not mix. Between them there is a barrier which is forbidden to be trespassed. Previously, the commentators of the Quran, they couldn't explain what does Allah mean in the Quran by saying that the two bodies of water, they meet but do not mix. Between them there is a barzakh, a barrier which is forbidden to be trespassed. Today we have come to know that there are two types of water, one sweet and the other salty. And whenever they meet, there is a transitional homogenizing area between. Whenever one type of water flows into the other type of water, it loses its constituents and gets homogenized into the water it flows. It is known as the transitional homogenizing area, which the Quran refers to as barzakh, an unseen barrier. And this phenomena is seen in several parts of the world, including this great country in South Africa. If you go to the southernmost tip in Cape, you'll find that when the oceans meet, though they meet, there is a barrier, barzakh, an unseen barrier. It's even seen in Egypt, when the River Nile flows into the Mediterranean Sea. And even the Gulf of Mexico, though it flows for thousands of miles, there are two distinct water, sweet and salty. And when you're traveling in a boat and pick up water from one side and water from the other side, one is sweet and the other salty. Even the temperature between the two waters, it differs. In the field of biology, the Quran says in Surah Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 30, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ هَيْ أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. We have made every living creature from water. Will you not then believe? Imagine, in the deserts of Arabia, where there was scarcity of water, the Quran says, every living creature is made of water. Who would have believed in it? Today we have come to know that every living creature, the basic component is the living cell, which contains cytoplasm, which contains approximately 80% water, and every living creature contains about 50 to 90% water. The Quran says in Surah Nur, chapter number 24, verse number 45, we have created every animal from water. The Quran says in Surah Furqan, chapter 25, verse number 54, we have created every human being from water. In the field of botany, previously, we did not know that even the plants have sexes, male and female. It's recently we have come to know. Recently in science means 50 years back, 100 years back, 200 years back. The Quran says in Surah Taha, chapter number 20, verse number 53, that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has let the water fall from the sky, and from it he has brought forth pairs, diverse pairs of plants, each separate from the other, indicating that even the plants have sexes, male and female. The Quran says in Surah Rod, chapter number 13, verse number 3, we have created every kind of fruit in pairs, two and two. Even the fruits have got sexes, male and female. And even the bisexual fruits, as well as the unisexual fruits like the banana, etc., they have distinct characteristics of male and female. In the field of zoology, the Quran says in Surah An'am, chapter number 6, verse number 38, it is Allah who has created every animal that lives on the earth and every bird that flies in the air to live in communities like the human beings. And today we have come to know that all kinds of birds and animals, they live in communities like the human beings. The Quran says in Surah An-Nahl, chapter number 16, verse number 60 and 69, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught the bee to build its cells in trees, in hills, and human habitations, and to eat of what the earth produces, and to find the spacious path of thy Lord with great skill. What does Allah mean by saying he has taught the bee to find the spacious path of the Lord with great skill. It was in 1973 that Fonfresh, he got the Nobel Prize for describing the behavior of the insects and the animals, and he also described the behavior of the bee. And we have come to know today that whenever a bee finds a new flower or a new garden, it goes and tells its fellow bee the exact direction of the new flower or garden by a process known as the bee dance.